Welcome to the Do Something Beautiful podcast. I am your host, Leah Darrow, and I share with you inspirational people who are truly doing something beautiful to make our world better. We are inspired by the words of Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who said, "Do something beautiful for God. Do it with your life. Do it every day. Do it in your own way, but do it." It is so good to have you back for another episode of the Do Something Beautiful podcast. It's me, Leah, your host, and I cannot wait for you to hear this conversation with myself and Miss Kate Lloyd. Kate Lloyd, she's just one of those people who goes under the radar doing all of the hard stuff. And then when you find out about somebody like this, you're like, oh my gosh, more people have got to know. Again, like all of my guests, truly embodies that phrase from Mother Teresa, doing something beautiful for God. Kate Lloyd, one thing, she is local. She's here in St. Louis. I'm in St. Louis, so it's so great to talk to another gal in the same city. Kate Lloyd is the founder and managing attorney of Baquita Law, which is a nonprofit community organization dedicated to providing legal representation to individuals affected by human trafficking, which is huge, right? And other very severe forms of exploitation. Kate's amazing. She holds her JD degree, Juris Doctor, from Ave Maria School of Law, where she received the Thomas More Full Tuition Scholarship. She served as the editor-in-chief of the International Law Journal. She's a smarty, graduated with honors and a distinction for her pro bono service. Kate is just one of those women that just gets stuff done. Prior to her legal career, Kate worked in social services and special education. Her experience and training includes crisis management, applied behavioral analysis, trauma recovery, and counseling sexual assault survivors. Kate also holds a bachelor's in literature with a minor in theology from Ave Maria University, where she wrote her thesis on the prose poetry of, oh my gosh, somebody that I'm going to have to ask her about, Alexander Solenstein. That's totally wrong, but I'm going to ask her how. Kate, how do you say that?
Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Right. So whatever Kate just said. And last but not least, her greatest blessing and joy, I can relate to this, is being a mama of her 3-year-old daughter, Adelaide Marie. Kate, it is so good to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Leah. It's really good to be here.
I am. That bio is massively impressive. And let me tell you something. I actually did not read all of your bio prior to meeting you in person. Now, gosh, it feels like a couple years ago, at least a year ago or so, when we met in person, yeah, got to hang out. And I'm so happy that I didn't read your bio before that, because I would have been a little too intimidated. But you are just the sweetest, most approachable person I've ever met. And then to hear that bio, you're like, dang, girl, you've got, Christ has really worked in your life to move you to a place to, I guess, really do what you're doing now.
Well, Christ has a lot to do to get me moving half the time. I'd really like to, you know, sit down and read and spend my days with a cup of coffee. But when, you know, you say you love Christ, you got to go where he wants you to go. I do have to make one correction on the bio, because when I sent that to you, I don't remember when I sent it to you. My daughter is adopted out of foster care, and I was debating her name when we went with Ada Marie instead of Adelaide Marie. Similar, but
beautiful. So Ada Marie. Ada Marie.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's start there, actually. We are going to be talking a lot about what you're doing. We'll talk about this amazing organization of Baquita Law that you started to help people who are in human trafficking. But let's just start actually with Ada, your sweet Ada. Yeah. Let's start there. Kate, how did this happen?
So foster care had kind of been on my heart for a long time, long before I was old enough to do it. And I got involved when I was early 20s doing respite care for kids in foster care. And I just kept thinking, well, when I have everything in place, I'll do it. When I have a good, solid, strong marriage, that's when I'll do it. But what I was seeing, like the more I was working with kids, was that these kids weren't necessarily going to ideal Catholic families. They were a lot of times going to people who were maybe very well-meaning, but were not in a place to provide a good moral environment. And it was particularly hard with a couple of children that I had gotten very close to, where they came up for adoption, but because I wasn't a foster parent myself, I wasn't in the place to adopt them. And then the homes that they were adopted into were just not ideal. And so then at that point, I kind of was like, why do I keep holding back doing this when I know that I can provide a solid home, even though I didn't have a spouse. And that had been my holdup, was because I very strongly believe that children should have a mother and a father. So I said, well, let me just take the next step. I went through the classes, and before each of the classes and everything, I kept going back to adoration and saying, God, I'm only want to keep going if this is what you want me to do. And I got my license, and I got a call for a little girl. They said, we just need someone for 2 weeks. And I said, okay, I'll went and got her from the hospital, and she was extremely ill from just some severe neglect and abuse. And 3 years later, she officially became my daughter. But she was, there were so many things we could do an entire podcast on, just what it's like to be a foster parent. But she came home. I met her on the Feast of the Holy Family. She came to my home on the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. And every time there was like a really big issue in her case, it would be resolved or something would happen on a Marian feast day. And to me, that just over and over again confirmed to me that this has all been part of God's plan. And there's something so unique and so beautiful in adoption. In the Mass a couple times, through baptism or the adopted children of the Father. And going through this with my daughter has just shown me how intense and how particular God the Father's love is for each of us, that He chooses us, through adoption to be the brothers and sisters of His Son, Jesus Christ. So I don't know if that answers your question or.
No, it's great. I love this story. I remember you sharing it with me the first time that we got to meet in person, and it's just so beautiful. I absolutely love it. And sweet Ada, she is a doll.
She's a funny kid, and there's so many things people will say, like, oh my gosh, that child is just like you, or they're, and
just it.
Odd things too, that like there's a couple baby pictures where I look like she does in her baby pictures, and which is, it's funny that you can see that resemblance, especially she's African American and I'm not. So it's really only God can do these things.
Oh, I just love it. It just brings tears to my eyes. I absolutely love it. You clearly have a heart of gold, and you've shown that. God's given you so many opportunities to show that heart that He's given you, and you've done that so well. And then on top of all of this, you've also started Bakita Law. So human trafficking, and then, of course, underneath that there's a lot of things that go into that, different types of human trafficking. Some of the most violent is the sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. That's hard stuff. How did you decide that this was what you wanted to do with your life? I know that you like to blame a lot of this on John Paul II. which I love that line when you talk about it. But like, how did this come to be?
So really, I would say back in my teenage years, I was definitely turning away from the faith in ways, you know, my mother definitely did not know about. And in sort of an effort to impress my grandmother, who I believe should be a canonized saint, I went on a retreat. And after going on that retreat, I had actually, surprising to me, had an encounter with our Lord, and then that left me open to go see John Paul II when he came into town in St. Louis in 1999. And he said to the young people, "You have a responsibility to serve." And just something about that line struck me, and I was like, that's what I'm going to do with my life. And
meaning you were just going to serve and
I was like, that's what my life means. Like, my responsibility.
Wow.
Not to make a lot of money. My responsibility is not to, you know, have a nice house or all of these things. The purpose of my life is to serve. And that just spoke to me in a way that nothing else had. I just heard truth in it in a way that, you know, I had gone to 12 years of Catholic school, and in a lot of ways I had been served by other people, you know, served by your teachers, served by the priests and the people in the community. But then to hear that it was my responsibility, even as, you know, still a young person, to serve other people, just really changed my life. And I also saw, you know, John Paul II, I saw his joy, and that really spoke to me. Like, both him and Mother Teresa, seeing their joy, I felt like that's what is real. You know, if you can, you know, do what they're doing and have joy, that must be coming from something outside of this world. And so the first thing I did was I packed my bags and I moved to Indian reservation in Belcourt, North Dakota, to work with a group of Benedictines. And kind of from there, I ended up joining a mission community and lived in Belize, spent some time in Mexico, was able to go to Italy, lived in Rome for about 6 months studying theology, and really got to spend a lot of time just learning my faith and serving people all over the world. And but the question that kept coming back to me during that time was, when I was being, like, what I like to call spoiled by God, having all these wonderful adventures, I kept thinking about, well, what about these people? Or, like, what is this, the people that have, like, this kind of suffering or this kind of suffering? And the one that really kept, you know, tugging at my heart was women who have been sexually assaulted. And so then I just, with each place that I lived and worked, there were times where I encountered women who had been raped, or women who had, you know, been abused by family members. And I just kept going, taking them to God, being like, what are you, like, how are you allowing this? Yeah. And I never, you know, came up with a clear answer to why certain sufferings happen. But what I did come up with an answer to is that when you see a problem, you do what your gifts allow you to do. Like, you don't have to do everything. You can't do everything, and you can't take every suffering on yourself. But if you have a gift, you got to use it. So that's basically where I ended up. You know, I never set out thinking, oh, I want to do human trafficking. But, you know, as the years went by, this is what I encountered more and more. And the school that I went to for law school
had a human trafficking law clinic. And so I started working in that clinic my first year of law school, the end of my first year of law school, and have done only human trafficking work pretty much since.
Wow. There's such a need now. Do you think the need's always been there, or do you think that unfortunately this has grown? And if so, why do you think there are so many human trafficking cases and issues today? It seems like more than ever.
So, I think some issues have always been there, but I think there's been a growth as there's been a loss of a sense of God in our world, in our community. You can see some issues in in our economic systems, like as the economic systems have put, grown in such a way that, you know, only the bottom line matters. You're going to see more labor trafficking.
Right.
And when we have an entire, society since the sexual revolution that has completely lost the concept of what human sexuality means and any concept of sexual morality, that has definitely increased the number of people participating in the use and abuse of women and children.
Right.
It's just what we need is a recentering and turning back to Christ in all of these, all of these areas. And that was kind of why I started Bikita Laws, because when I wanted to go work in this area, the thing I kept running into is that all of the organizations that were working with human trafficking survivors were very, very pro-choice, very anti-life, very, no sense of sexual morality. And it's like, how can you expect any sort of hope and healing if we're still just, offering, survivors the same, the same basic things that, created the situation that ended up exploiting them to begin with?
Right. Right. I mean, in some ways, there seems to be a parallel between what you just said and those women who go into a Planned Parenthood for an abortion and are traumatized again by the abortion and then come out and they just give them more condoms and birth control.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so when we started, some things have changed, but when we started in 2015, in order to receive any federal funding, you had to promise that you would refer your clients to Planned Parenthood. Yes, it was explicitly stated that for any sort of federal funding, you had to refer to Planned Parenthood. There was a little leeway for attorneys, but because we do some social services as well for our clients, we would have been to accept any of that funding.
So is this just in the state of Missouri
or is this federal?
Anybody involved in human trafficking,
yes, if
you has a nonprofit, mm-hmm, and wants to get federal funding, they have to promise to promote, suggest, have resources available for Planned Parenthood to those who have been victimized through sexual trafficking.
Yes. In fact, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops had a very good program for human trafficking for a while, and they had to scrap the whole thing because they received federal funding, and then they couldn't, when these changes came in saying they had to refer to Planned Parenthood, they shut down. They could not do that, and so they had to shut down an effective anti-human trafficking program, and then they relaunched later without using any federal funds. But
wow, and is that still the case today?
So I know that there's been a lot of changes. I haven't kept up with that because we our board has just decided we're going to keep being privately funded by donors. It's our organization is smaller because of that, but it allows us to maintain our Catholic identity.
Right. I mean, it allows you to retain morality.
Yes. It's so frustrating, you know, for me as a service provider to go into, you know, meetings with other service providers. I've had other people like berate me because our organization will not refer to Planned Parenthood. But I just tell them, I'm like, listen, in human trafficking, there is a huge epidemic of forced abortions. And these women, many of them would all like, you know, still cry over their babies. And to like continue to say, oh, this is the solution to your problem, it's not the solution. There is nothing in the world that is quite so healing as a baby. And I have a client that I wish everyone could meet. Obviously, I'm not, you know, putting her forward because she would like her identity protected, but she had gone through the most extreme forms of exploitation. But then when she and her husband welcomed a baby, it was the most healing thing. Nothing could have healed her the way that welcoming a child did. And that's the issue with so many service providers like that, you know, are working with people, whether they're teens or whether they're, you know, people in poverty or whatever, we're offering them human solutions and things that make sense sort of from a human perspective. But what people really need is that divine solution. They need the divine physician. They need Christ himself. And in order to, you know, be a conduit for Christ to come into people's lives, you have to be faithful to what God teaches us. You have to be faithful in your prayer life. You know, so much of Bakita Law, so much of my work gets done frequently in an adoration chapel, because I can't do this. There's nothing I can do to help these women, but I know somebody who can. And so when I'm doing this, I'm always looking at, he's my boss, you know, I got to do what he says. Frankly, there are times where I think he probably should fire me, but
I feel the same way, Kate.
But he can do, you know, what I can't, and there's no hope outside of him. And that's
amen.
What, you
and, know, and I think that's probably what that calling you heard and that calling you felt, that truth from Christ through John Paul II when he was calling you to serve. I mean, that's the call, not of a pope, that's the call of our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm very happy when popes or anybody else would like to emphasize that point. Mm-hmm. And that level of service that every single person is called to. When it comes to human trafficking, I want to ask a few more questions about this just because I'm curious, and I know our listeners are curious too. I know that you've talked about that, like statistics are notoriously hard to come by. But what types of industries are more tainted by slave labor and sexual trafficking and the issues surrounding all of that here in the United States? Like what are some of those that we could like maybe pinpoint?
Well, let me first bring up like two industries where it's easy to pick a slave-free alternative.
Okay, great.
That would be like coffee and chocolate. Anything that has a fair trade label on it means it has been inspected and upheld to certain standards, and that standard includes no child labor, no slave labor, certain safe working conditions. When you get into issues like clothing, it's much harder to avoid slave labor.
Yes.
You know, and then there's so many of the products we use, from, you know, the paving stones in our garden to medical supplies to, you know, the clothes we wear. When I give talks you know, to places, I usually use the line, like, if you had breakfast this morning, slept in a bed, woke up in a home, your life has already been touched by slave labor.
Hey, this message is for my ladies. Ladies, listen, if you are looking for some accountability in your prayer life, if you feel, or you might be alone, you feel like you're alone in your faith life, maybe there's not a lot of people who support you or are around you, or you're just not connected to them, or sometimes it's just struggling to reach out, or maybe it's just the fact that you want to know your faith better. You really want to go deeper, but you feel overwhelmed with all the amount of possibilities and ways to do that. Or you want to go to grad school, but you also really don't want the price tag that's associated with that, or the homework, or the intensity maybe. And you're looking for practical and pastoral theology. I have an answer for you. We just created the very first Catholic app for Catholic women. Super excited about this. This is the Lux app, L-U-X. Lux is Latin for light, and we truly believe that we are called to be lights and called to be leaders for ourselves, for our families, for our church, and for the world. So I want to invite you to join this amazing network of women. It is so much more than an app. I mean, I'm incredibly proud of all of the work that we have done to create this app, and it's mobile friendly. It's also desktop friendly, but it's really, truly about a network. There are three main components. Really quickly, I just wanted to share with you so that you know about it and you can share it with others. We have the prayer department, and in prayer, we offer live weekly prayer, rosary, divine mercy chaplet. We also offer live Sunday Gospel Reflections by Father Michael O'Loughlin, who is our Lux chaplain, and he often, very often, goes in and even offers live evening prayer, so you always get a notification on your phone whenever he goes live if you want to pray with him, but it's really beautiful what he does. He's there for us every single week, guiding us through the gospel and giving us a challenge to take with us throughout the week. I love the prayer department inside the app. It is absolutely my favorite piece, I think. And then we have the community piece. And a lot of people kind of like gloss over, or when they offer something, they always say community, but they really don't mean it. We mean it. We sincerely mean it. This is the best tech tool I have ever used to really connect me with other Catholic women in a way that you're off social media, so you don't have to worry about all of that. There's no trolls. And you really are in this intimate place with other Catholic women, and you can actually find out and see where they are around you and near you, like in your city, or even when you travel, you'll be able to find out where the other Lux ladies are. And if you wanted to, you could reach out and say hello. You could connect. You could maybe arrange a time to like go grab coffee, whatever you want. Or maybe you just want to stay back and just, you know, chat in the chat boxes from afar. Either way, you will definitely know that you're not alone anymore in your faith. And then the third main compartment, or main department, that we offer inside the Lux Network is formation, and that is Lux University, where we offer practical and pastoral theology courses for you to know your faith better. It's amazing. It is ever evolving. We are constantly adding new courses to the LuxU platform. So you're never going to get in there and then like, that's all we're ever going to have. We film new courses about once a month. So we are churning out new stuff constantly. And we're always asking you about what you want. Like what topic do you want covered? And so it's community sourced content that we're putting out. It's really beautiful. We're faithful to the church teachings. We are just courageously Catholic in our faith and in our movement towards being leaders and lights in the world. And we want you to join us. So make sure you go to theluxuniversity.com, get the information, choose your plan, and download the app there. Quick note for all of my Apple iPhone users, you want to make sure you go to theluxuniversity.com to choose your plan and get the app. Don't go to the app store, because Apple charges 30% more, and we have no say-so in that. They do that. We cannot issue cancellations or refunds or anything because that's all on Apple. So we have warnings everywhere. This is your warning. If you want to be a part of the Lux Network, go ahead and go to theluxuniversity.com. It's available for anyone, international, Android, Apple, you name it. You are welcome here. I cannot wait to see you inside the Lux app.
And because it's so prevalent in every single area, you know, with exporting a lot of jobs to countries that don't have worker protection, you're going to encounter slave labor. So again, like if you want to make a simple switch, look for coffee that has been labeled fair trade. You can get chocolate that's been labeled fair trade. And it's much easier to come by nowadays. Like, I don't know if you have like an Aldi's or a Ruler Foods around, you can find, you know, good items for a good price.
Right. And there's also, we'll include this in the show notes, along with all the information, of course, that with, that you can connect, with Bakita Law or Kate, and help donate. And if you want to actually help specifically what Bakita Law does in helping survivors, then you can do that. But another resource that we'll add in there is that I've done podcasts on this before. They're really great, but Catholic Relief Services Ethical Trade, they've got a whole list. We'll include that in there too, of places where you can get all different types of goods for your home. I mean, from like coffee and chocolate to clothing to the stuff that you'd put on your table, napkins and bowls and spoons. I mean, like they've got a lot of stuff from organizations that they have personally vetted that uphold those Catholic Christian dignity standards, as well as it's being fair trade so that there's no slavery, there's no forced child labor, all of those involved too. So that's another resource we can add in there as well.
Yeah, the other thing, that one of my favorite places to shop for, you know, items, especially for my home, that are ethically made, is to purchase from small business owners. There's a lot of, you know, little Catholic run businesses. One of my favorite is called Rough to Rustic, makes all sort of Catholic items for the home. And the woman that runs this business, she's a mom. She is, she reuses everything. I mean, she, to me, like from the boxes she sends it out in, for materials very ethically. So like look for those, you know, little small businesses as well, because you end up, you know, supporting an individual family and instead of, you know, participating in slave labor as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very good. We'll make sure we include some of those links too. I love that. And that's the thing. I mean, you, like you said, you can support individual people and their businesses and the services that they provide with good products, without supporting those larger conglomerates that are, you know, that don't have the standards in place, probably more than likely due to the bottom dollar. They're just wanting to get things done cheap and they want to get things done fast. And I have written about this in my book. I have had podcasts on this multiple times. The fashion industry is one of the biggest guilty parties here in terms of what they do, especially for forced slave labor and child labor. And many things involved in that. So there's Netflix documentaries on that. I mean, this is not just like my opinion. This is all quite well documented, unfortunately. So
yeah, and I mean, in fact, for an example, this goes back again to the chocolate industry. But there is a protocol. It's called the, I might say this incorrectly, but the Harkin-Engel Protocol was set in 2001. All the major chocolate companies signed on to it. And the agreement was that they would reduce the worst forms of child labor, not all child labor, just the worst forms of child labor, by 70%. So they aren't eliminating child slavery. It's just, we're going to reduce it by 70%. It's 2019, well, soon to be 2020. They still haven't met this goal that was set in 2001. There, you can see pictures, some, if you, of children that have worked in the, in slave labor, producing chocolate that, have like the skin literally ripped off their back, from being whipped to produce this chocolate for, these major companies that are making a ton of money. It's just really like heartbreaking when you see like the face of it, and it's, you know, I tend to harp a little bit on, you know, coffee and chocolate because it's fairly simple to make the switch, you know.
Right. Right. And I think that's a great place to start too, because I know the response that I usually get when I talk about ethical trade, in particular in terms of fashion, because it's such a big purchase and an often, it's a purchase that we do often, is people feel overwhelmed. Like, oh, I'm just so overwhelmed. It's just too much. That's another topic of why it's too much. Like, that's unfortunate that that's too much for us. And I'm not trying to discount the difficulty or sometimes a financial struggle at times to do that. But I think you're right. Coffee and chocolate, because there are actually quite a few options out there now that are at all of the stores, even in gas stations, I've seen them, that have fair trade on there. That's an easy thing to go and do. So that's a great, amazing place to start. Now, with what Paquita Law does and what you do, I mean, I love the fact that you guys are just adamantly pro-life, and that pro-life nature to your work is so, so strong. All the things that you do, you provide legal representation for survivors. You have, you know, a sexual exploitation prevention program for high-risk teens. You've got support groups for survivors of trauma. You do outreach and education for the community. I mean, you can get your chocolate, you can get your coffee, which you should do. But helping and donate and backing services like these are so essential. Like, this is part of how we serve as well. And so, well, again, we'll add those in the show notes too, especially during this time when you listen to this podcast. This is during the month of January 2020. We've got a big month for the March of Life and promoting life and dignity for all people from conception to natural death, and also helping those who have been in situations like this, into human trafficking. And you can definitely support and serve, by supporting organizations, nonprofit organizations like Paquita Law. I mean, Kate, with what you've been doing with Paquita Law, I mean, can you share a story or two, with us? Obviously protecting identity, of course, of the people, but is that possible? Are you able to share a couple stories of some people you've encountered?
I just asked a client this week if I could share, you know, a little bit of her story. We, you know, the demographics of who we serve, changes a little bit, you know, here and there. When we first started, almost every single one of our clients had been in foster care. And then we had a swing a bit with more international clients coming in, women who were brought into the United States for the purposes of sex trafficking, who were rescued, you know, by law enforcement and then became our clients. And the issue is, even if these women want to go home, it's usually not possible. The even if law enforcement gets the traffickers put into prison in the United States, there's still a trafficking network in the country of origin. And so when they are trafficked, they lose their family, they lose their home, and then of course lose their dignity through the sexual exploitation. So just to give, you know, one example, we had a girl, she was 15 and she had accepted a ride from somebody she thought she knew, got in his car because it was raining. And instead of driving her home, which is where he said he was going to drive her, he drove her to a human trafficking location in her in their country. She was raped repeatedly for over a period of a year. When she became pregnant, she was beaten until she miscarried. And she still thinks of that baby to this day. I just, you know, I always ask those little babies to intercede for their moms. So she was then taken into the United States after she had been what they kind of refer to as like acclimatized to this. And her purpose in the United States was that she was going to be put into a brothel in a city and required to, quote unquote, service a certain number of men a night. Law enforcement, the day she was brought into this brothel happened to be the same day that law enforcement raided it. She was rescued. She was only about 16 and a half, almost 17 at this time, and was then placed in foster care. Well, the traffickers in her home country, you know, they were still free. So they start threatening, like, her family to try and find out, you know, where they moved her. And the traffickers, so she was placed in foster care, and she was rescued out of one state, placed in foster care in a state half the country away. I won't mention the states. And then started high school, was at a bus stop, and the traffickers pulled up and tried to get her into the car. She was able to flee at that point, but then was relocated again for her own safety. So just to like kind of get a perspective on what happens with human trafficking is that when an individual, particularly in an international human trafficking situation, the girl's life is, you know, the girl is usually taken at some point or tricked into going with them. And then if they're not complying, doing what the traffickers say, their family is threatened, their own life is threatened. In this particular case with this girl, this trafficking ring was so well organized that they had an orientation video that included that girl that they showed to, like they showed the death of this girl to every new girl that they brought in and said, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't comply with what we're doing.
Wow.
So it's just the most evil, most, you know, horrific, you know, situations. And then you have, you know, people on the U.S. side that are like, you know, at a sporting event or drinking too much or whatever and thinking they're just going to visit, you know, a prostitute to have a good time. And they don't have any sense that what they're participating in, at least I'm, you know, being charitable to say they don't have any sense to know what they're participating in. But that, you know, that is the background of a lot of our clients. The other thing we see a lot is that we'll have women that thought they were coming to the U.S. for a job, such as we've had them come thinking that they were going to be a hairstylist or, you know, work in a restaurant. And then when they get there, they're told, no, that's not what you're doing. You're going to be prostituting yourself. And then they're like severely, you know, beaten if they don't comply. So back to the client I just had met with this week, who said I could share a little bit of what
yeah,
her story. She suffered, you know, some of the most like horrific exploitation and abuses, and it's amazing that she's even alive. And she happened to just somehow manage to run away, like after a number of months of this situation. She managed to run away, to hide, and to get help. And I asked her, like, how do you do, like, your day-to-day? Like, a lot of times we'll sit and we'll talk about how they're doing, you know, outside of, you know, the legal issues. And she just looked at me and she said, Kate, every day I wake up and I tell myself, have courage and be kind. And it just, everything that she's went through, she is telling herself, not only for herself to have courage, but to be kind, because she doesn't know what other people are going through. And I always say, we're going to put that on a t-shirt or something. And so, yeah, be kind. I just feel like it's a great model. But also, when I see clients like that, I also know that God is working and that there is hope. Like, a lot of times the clients, I don't know what their backgrounds, you know, are from a faith perspective necessarily, but they'll ask me to pray with them at times. And it's, you know, it's a really beautiful thing to be able to, you know, sit and pray with your clients. I could just keep going, Leah, with some of these stories, but the one thing that I've seen that's like a really, really beautiful outcome is we worked with this client for a number of years. She was actually the first client that I ever worked with before I founded Bakita Law, and then she came with me when I founded Bakita Law. She became our first client. Well, after 10 years, it was 10 years after she was trafficked, she just this past summer was able to see her family again for the first time. Like,
wow.
It took 10 years for all the legal issues to be resolved, for it to be physically safe for her, for all, you know, the logistics to work out. But she got to, you know, to give her father a hug for the very first time in 10 years. So she was the one who had gotten in the car of the man who she thought she could trust. He was supposedly going to take her home to her father, you know, exploited her. And 10 years later, she was able to finally see her father again, you know, just be hugged and, you know, told that he loves her. And it was really a really beautiful moment for the family.
I mean, I sincerely can't even imagine that type of reunion after going through everything and the separation and the just the concern of safety all the time. I mean, it's such an issue today. I mean, and I know this is what so many people are like probably screaming at me, being like, Leah, how can we help? Could you just tell me really quickly? I mean, that's what I would be doing in the middle of this podcast. If I was listening to it in the car, I'd be like, okay, just tell me what I can do right now to help. So how can listeners help? I mean, sincerely. Yes, chocolate, coffee, those are good. I'm not saying they're not, but like, what if someone's like, okay, and then what? Like, how can we help? So like, what can we do, Kate?
So the first thing is we seriously need prayer support. Offer a holy hour, offer a rosary, anything. But then the other thing is we need more people on our team. We need I want a professional counselor on our team. We get our clients counseling services, but I really have been strongly feeling we need an in-house counselor, you know, for our clients. We also, we have more legal work coming in than I can personally handle. We need another attorney who is strongly pro-life, dedicated, you know, dedicated to serving women with compassion. And, but also in order to do this, to grow and to be the ministry that, that I really hope that Bikita Law becomes and continues to be, we do need funding. We've had times where it was, you know, we think we're going to have to shut the doors or we can't accept any more clients right now. And suddenly somebody steps up with some funding. But I can't hire anybody without having that security for them. You can't ask somebody to come change their job and be like, well, hopefully the job will last a year. Like, it's one thing, like, if I suspend my salary, but I can't do that to somebody else.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, then now we know. All right. So if you are a professional counselor, if you're an attorney, or you do any other type of legal work that could help with the workload, reach out to Kate. That might be a place for you. And then for all of us who are not professional counselors or attorneys or in the legal sphere, that would be me. And probably, I would imagine, a lot of you guys listening, we can help. We can help.
And so, I would also encourage, if somebody really has a heart for this, there's so much, we might not have something available right now, but like, you know, there are plenty of opportunities to serve, you know. We also need volunteer support. If you live in the St. Louis area, we have fundraisers. I'm sure that my family members would appreciate if I didn't put everything on their shoulders. and if Perfect. You can't, we also have an amazing advisory board that Leah is a part of.
Yes, I am.
So there's just different opportunities. So even if you're not a counselor or an attorney, maybe there's and you have a heart for this, maybe there's something that you can offer.
I love that. So especially if you are local to the St. Louis area, there are quite a few opportunities. And hey, listen, maybe you're in college and you're looking for something to do that involves like a college credit or something that could be worked out as well. There's a lot of opportunities here for you to offer your time and your talent to help this epidemic in our world. And is definitely strongly in the spectrum of the pro-life movement of what we're doing here. I fully support everything you're doing, Kate. I mean, it's just so beautiful. And we really do, like, we need to help in how we can. There's sometimes it's just a lack of initiative. Like, if we have the link in the show notes right now, trust me, it's worth it to just go there, click on the link, click on the donate button at bikitalaw.org and offer something. Maybe you're like, look, I got 10 bucks, then 10 bucks. I mean, maybe it's more, maybe it's like a monthly donation and then you can actually start putting this towards, but this is how we can help people. It's really important that we actually take the time to do something about those who are hurting and are suffering with whatever the Lord does give us. Kate, as we wrap up everything, and we'll have all of these links in the show notes so that you can go and you can donate to bikitalaw.org. You can follow them on Instagram, which is at bikita.law. You can go to their Facebook page, all the things there that you can check out. No problem. We'll have that for you. But before we leave, Kate, could you give maybe a challenge to our listeners as they kind of wrap up with all this information, a very, very quick introduction, unfortunately, as much as we don't probably want it, but on human trafficking and what we can do to help with it. Could you give our listeners a challenge?
Sure. I would challenge your listeners to maybe learn one fact. You could look at our website, our Facebook or Instagram page, you know, learn one piece of information and share it with five people. Awareness is a big key. You know, maybe somebody thinks twice before they make, a choice in their lives or something. Or maybe you'll reach out to somebody who you don't know would need one of our, you know, support groups or, has a child that needs the sexual exploitation prevention program. So I would just learn one thing about human trafficking and share it with five people. You don't know what good that can do for somebody.
Yeah, that's true. We really, really don't. And we have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. You might be sharing something on social media to somebody who's actually in the middle, like they are being trafficked, like, and they somehow stumbled upon this and they saw this, or you share it with somebody else and then it goes on. We just don't know. But the fact is, putting truth out there and putting out a resource like Bikita Law that helps survivors, that helps those who are in those situations, who are being trafficked, get some relief and get some help and get some services to help them in that. Kate, you're amazing. You are a hero of mine. I'm blessed and honored to be on your advisory board, and anything that I can do, you've got it. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Leah. I just really enjoyed talking with you today.
Kate, you're amazing. You really are. You are so amazing. I love my guests, and I love doing this podcast because it's so great. I get to talk to the most amazing people in the world who are truly doing something beautiful for God. I am so thankful. And thank you for listening again. I love my listeners. You guys are so amazing. I love meeting you when I'm on the road. And everything that you have to tell me and that you share with me, your favorite episodes. It's just so beautiful to connect with you when we get to connect and hear from amazing people who are really doing something great with the talents and the gifts that God has given them. Oh, it is so beautiful. So I want you just to take this information, take Kate's challenge, check out Bikita Law. I want you to go and donate today. I know people are always asking for money, but like, seriously, could there be a better cause in helping people who are in such a situation? This is what the pro-life movement is all about. This is another way that you can engage and contribute to the pro-life movement, is helping organizations like Bikita Law. So please go out and do that. And remember, whatever you do today, do something beautiful for God. God love you. God bless. And I'll talk to you later.